Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. And a couple of quick announcements. I got in big trouble with Ellen, my VP of marketing, and she said, David, you're supposed to be doing this. So real quick, I've got a speaking engagement. If you'd like to hear me talk, besides on the radio, when I come to, I've got New Smyrna Beach Libraries invited me to come and talk to them on June 20th at 10 a.m. And I'm going to be talking about the threats to your retirement security. So New Smyrna Beach Library, June 20th, 10 a.m. Scott, you want to come to that?
I'm sure I'll be busy. Will you be signing books?
Sure. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Actually, I donated, I think, a dozen copies of my Secrets to a Secure Retirement book to the public library system.
There you go.
Here in Volusia. So anyway, I'm supposed to mention that. Also supposed to mention that radioguestlist.com, say that 10 times fast, radioguestlist.com. is a great service that we've been taking advantage of to find some of these interesting guests we've had on the program.
Terrific.
Good stuff. And speaking of interesting guests,
the fastest 5 minutes in finance.
Me?
With Scott.
All you, man.
No.
Yeah.
You were going to promote somebody else.
No, it's all you. It's all you. We get constant fan mail. Have you seen the bushels of mail coming in, fan mail for Scott Connor?
I thought, yeah, they all say, take his mic away.
Well, not yet, because you got to tell us everything going on in the world, Facebook and Greece.
All right.
So that's your cue, man.
Oh, am I ready to go?
Yeah, you're ready.
Well, Thursday's trade was a little bit of a boring one, which I was relatively happy about. The Dow was up 33 points at 12,529. The S&P up 2 points. NASDAQ down 10. Gold, I think, still on a short cover for gold, up $10 an ounce at 1559. Oil, let's call it mostly flat, up a dollar, but still inside of $91. Tens at 177, so a little bit upward pressure on the yields for tens, but still 177 is so low. And then I'm not sure what you're waiting on to book your trip to Europe, but I'll continue to give this until you get it squared away. The euro at 125.
Wow.
Down again a little bit, about a half a penny today.
I could have gotten that same tie I bought in Italy for like $30 less.
Well, they still have ties, I'm sure.
I'm sure they do. They're
beautiful.
And
they'll be glad to sell you one. Other than that, on Thursday, really, there are only really two pieces of news, depending on how you want to look at them. It's either the Greeks or the Facebook. So let's start with the Greeks. EU leaders reiterated on Thursday that Greece really needs to stay in the Eurozone, although they really didn't come out with any specific plans on how they were going to solve the debt crisis. Italian Prime Minister Mario Monti and new French President François Hollande agreed to consider all measures to boost European economic growth. They're really focusing on growth and not austerity now. They are talking about doing a euro bond, but Germany, they don't like that.
You know why they don't like it? Because they think they'll be the one having to carry the weight of it.
Yeah, it's like co-signing with somebody that has a 200 credit score. Why would you do that?
I don't know. I don't get, you know, I know that they're going to try to hold it together. They're looking at the solution being worse than the problem, but I just don't see Greece staying in the union. And, you know, I read a report that there's an initial estimate that if Greece goes back to the drachma, something like a 60% devaluation number that's out there.
Yeah, the numbers are really pretty horrific as far as what happens to currency markets with that sort of removal. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a story just before I go about some of the, maybe some of the impact of that possibility that you haven't thought of yet. So we'll see. I personally think they're going to do whatever they can to keep Greece in the union, but we'll find out in the next, 10 years or so, we'll probably find out.
You think that's how long it's going to take?
I mean, come on already. As to Facebook, Facebook was up again for the second day on Thursday, but still well below its IPO price. After the close on Wednesday, Knight Capital, which is a big market maker, announced that they had losses of about $30 million due to problems with the trades. Now, that's NASDAQ problem, not Facebook problem. Fidelity Investments, these two particularly singled out, also said dealing with thousands of customers that had order problems. Basically, what happened is these clients had shares of Facebook in the IPO. They tried to sell them Friday when it came to market, and they didn't know if they had sold them, at what price they had sold them, or anything like that. They still don't know who sold what, when, at what price.
It's crazy.
Yep, and so Facebook is thinking of moving over to the New York Stock Exchange, which is really going to be a real blow to NASDAQ. I mean, they already have so much egg on their face that it's going to be hard for them to recover, and they really don't need Facebook just saying, forget it, we're going to pull out. A little bit of retail news. Costco had an announcement today, and Tiffany had an announcement today. Two opposite ends of the retail spectrum. Which one do you think had a better announcement?
Costco.
Costco, much better, posted better than expected earnings. Tiffany's shares slumped pretty hard after they lowered guidance. Economic news on Thursday, not a whole lot. We always get the weekly jobless claims number at 370,000. That's down 2,000 from the previous week. Also, durable goods orders were up in April, but less than expected. And then what I finally wanted to tell you about Greek banks, you remember Slick Willie Sutton? He was a bank robber. He said the only reason he robs banks is because that's where the money is. But not in Greece. They have had something like a third of the value of the deposits in Greek banks have been getting pulled out because Greek citizens are worried that they're going to get converted to drachmas. So what they're doing is they're pulling their money out and they're burying it or they're hiding it in a safe. And this has caused an incredible crime spree across Greece. These big waves of criminals are coming into Greece knowing that there are huge amounts of euros sitting in jars and stuff, and they're just robbing people like crazy. And there's all kinds of stories about an elderly fellow took all his money out of the bank, and then 2 days later he died, and he didn't tell his family where it was, so they can't find any of it. Houses are burning, and they're full of euros, and so
disaster. It's crazy.
Somewhere in the vicinity of 72 billion euros have been withdrawn from Greek banks in the last 2 years or so.
It's like a treasure hunt.
Well, it's a mess. But what are they going to do? Leave it in the banks? And then, you know, every weekend they have to worry about the banks being nationalized and they wake up and all their money is in drachmas. And as you said, it's worth 60% less. You know, I'd take my chance with the backyard, I guess.
I think I'd be looking for some sort of immigration.
Well, it actually has had a positive impact on American banks. One of the reasons our balance sheets are stronger in the last year is because a lot of that money is coming out of really across Southern Europe, but mostly out of Greece.
Well, with all of this going on with Europe and Greece and everywhere, all of that's causing, obviously, the euro exchange rate is coming way down to 125, $1.25 for a euro. All of this portends to continue to make the dollar stronger. Now, the good news of that is that that'll cause oil to continue to come down.
Yep.
The bad news, of course, it'll hurt our exports.
Yes.
Well, then you take the good, you take the bad, and there you have the European situation.
Yeah, but we have talked a lot about how we really need manufacturing to get on track from the hiring perspective, and the pressure on exports is not going to help that.
No, that's not going to be good at all. Okay, well, very good update, Scott. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and I'll have, of course, an exciting guest for you. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a special guest for you. I've been surprising you the last few shows with guests, and this is a very interesting one. We have on the line with us Chris Markowski. Chris?
Hello, how are you?
Good, there you are. All right. This is a neat program, ladies and gentlemen. Chris is the watchdog on Wall Street. What in the world is that?
I didn't really come up with that myself. Someone else, it was back in the 1990s, I was a bit of a whipping boy back then because I was going after a lot of the dot-com companies and didn't believe a lot of the nonsense, wrote columns in regards to how I thought Enron was going to collapse and WorldCom and all these things. And, the stuff that I predicted ended up coming true, but it's not because I'm a genius, just because I understand, basic physics and math and, realistic expectations.
You mean you actually looked at the numbers?
Yeah. And, that got offered to do a radio show a little over 10 years ago. And, they said, hey, you got the watchdog on Wall Street. I said, that sounds good. We should just call it that.
Well, I looked at your picture. You do look like you're a watchdog, like you keep an eye on things. So that works. Well, tell us what you do. You're an investment professional, and you have your firm has offices. We were talking before the show. You have offices all over the country. Your approach and really kind of looking at what's going on in the markets and the economy, and your take is really about helping consumers, kind of break down or be able to see through and see some of this stuff, what it is, and some of these things out there just are not good.
Well, yeah. We're a certified financial planning firm, and what we've done and what we always have done is we try to help everybody out, try to point them in the right direction, no matter what. Whether they're just getting started or whether well along on their way. And it's just we're basically trying to teach a realistic approach to what the markets and what your financial planning should be and what they can do for you. Understanding, tempering expectations, and try to have a goal-centric type of approach rather than the nonsense, let's try to double and triple our money overnight. Phrase that we like to use and that I've used for years is everything in life that has meaning, value, and worth involves work, time, and effort. There's no exceptions there. And, the world's second oldest profession is the get-rich-quick con artist. And it's very easy for them to set traps. The bait is quite simple. It's either greed or fear. And those bait works really well on human beings, and they've been working well for as long as recorded history. And unfortunately, people buy into that stuff. And we just try to, direct them away from it.
I mean, it seems like every other day you see there's a scam out there, and we just read in our local papers here, older woman got $60,000 of her money with some sort of story in the parking lot of a grocery store, and got her to give some money up, and it happens way too often. And so part of what you're doing, I share a lot of your thoughts in terms of working with clients, but part of what you're doing too that I think is really interesting is kind of looking at Wall Street, and you're shining a light maybe where people don't want a light shined.
Well, I had hopes this past year actually, for the Occupy Wall Street movement when it first started up, because I thought it was going to be almost like a tea party for young people, and unfortunately it didn't turn into that. It turned into got usurped by a lot of the far left organizations and communist groups and big time labor unions and whatnot, and it didn't end up turning out to that. But I've been going after the big Wall Street firms for a very long period of time. I mean, I saw the writing on the wall when they repealed Glass-Steagall, what was going to happen. And, it's gotten completely out of control at this point in time. We've got, banks that are too big to fail. Dodd-Frank has now been recently extended. People don't even realize this, to actually clearinghouses, exchanges. We're on the hook now as taxpayers for derivatives. And when you have two big-to-fail institutions, you have a disconnect in the overall marketplace, meaning that these institutions, because they are too big to fail, like Fannie and Freddie were big, there was an implied government guarantee.
Oh, sure.
And they're able to get money and borrow money at rates that everyone else isn't able to do. They get all sorts of favored deals and cutouts through the tax code. We all know how that works. Take a look at, General Electric, 19-foot high tax return, and they, paid no effective tax. Yet subchapter S and LLC companies all around the country, small business owners, they don't have those breaks. So we've got sort of like a crony socialist type of an economy, not capitalistic at all. And, I'm trying to get back to that old Adam Smith capitalism where, people can sit down at a table together and conduct business and both walk away happy. Jefferson talked about this in the Declaration of Independence that, all men are created equal. What does equality mean? Equality means we're equal under the law, that the rules apply even-handedly to everyone. Unfortunately, in this country, they do not.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, we've got some work cut out for us because we all know that this there are many challenges for getting things to be applied equally. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Chris Markowski on the phone with us today. His program is Watchdog on Wall Street, and he's the founder of Markowski Investments, and he's also a radio host. So we have a couple of preachers preaching to the choir today. And your website is watchdogonwallstreet.com.
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. More from Chris, and stay tuned.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Chris Markowski, a.k.a. the Watchdog on Wall Street. There you are. Chris, okay, we've got to talk about this, and I know you probably have already talked about this quite a bit on your other radio programs and with clients and with other folks. Facebook.
Well,
what in the world happened?
Well, what happened was, I mean, I one of the things I don't do on my radio program, never have done, I make fun of the people who go ahead and make stock picks and recommendations on financial programs, like, you know, a buy, like they know a buy is a buy for you. They haven't done your financial plan
right.
at all. But, you know, in the situation in Facebook, I came out of my radio program, I said, listen, if you can get the stock at the IPO, sell it immediately and then short it because it's just a disaster. People don't really seem to understand that this stock has been trading for a while now. There was a private market for the shares in Facebook prior to it going public, and they already drove the valuation of this company up to $100 billion.
Wow.
And I took a look at this, and, you know, going public at 28 times revenues, you know, just for it to keep up, it's going to have to increase its revenue numbers at over 40% a year. How in the world are they going to do that? I mean, it's absurd.
Well, that's
the
question.
What this was is just a huge Ponzi scheme, and, you know, that's what Wall Street and these big firms are good at. They're good at jiggering these things.
It's kind of like
things.
A pump-up-and-dump thing, right?
No different.
Yeah.
No different than any of those things that the boiler room operations were running back in the 80s and 90s. Same thing, just bigger.
Well, and we've talked on the show, and again, this is baffling to me because, you know, with so much of the technology going to the mobile devices, we all know that those clicks are, they don't get paid as much for that. So they often also have to fight that whole, the shrinking of the revenue per click.
Well, how many people are clicking on those ads?
Yeah, not enough to support that 40% growth.
How many people are doing this? I mean, it's just, there's no real... And, you know, as someone, you know, who understands the advertising business a little bit, eventually these big companies, I know they've got buyers and stuff like that that do this buying for them. They're like pre-programmed, especially big companies. I bet they're going to want to, you know, get some sort of bang for their buck.
What do you make of the whole deal where Morgan Stanley had advised them on, I guess, on the pricing and what they were going to come out with, and they increased the number of shares they're going to sell, plus they jacked the price up at kind of the last minute?
Well, this is another problem. This is, you know, why we have Wall Street's conflicted and needs to be broken up into separate units. You know, Morgan Stanley in that capacity is going and trying to get the best possible price for the people who are selling their company. That would be the insiders in Facebook. And that's exactly what they were doing. They're not raising money to, you know, fund research and development or expand.
It's all
they're
about
selling.
Cashing in, right? Yeah.
You know, that's what they're doing. That's their job. But on the other hand, their job is also placing that with their quote-unquote clients. Shares of a stock that they know is overvalued.
Well, obviously they can't do well for both parties. It's kind of, they're kind of, you know, they're representing one and then they're turning around and they're saying, hey, this is a great stock, and they're selling it to their clients.
That's absolutely true. And that's been going on for a while. I mean, this is the problem that we have. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you too. I mean, over the past 18 months, about almost 2 years now, I've been doing this for so long. I've gotten a bit harsher in my, you know, tone on my program in regards to this. Personal responsibility is important too.
That's true.
You know,
true.
You don't have to go out. No one held a gun to your head to go out and buy Facebook. No one told you to go out there and you know, buy 3,000-4,000 shares thinking the thing was going to double. It was greed. that got people, once again, greed set the trap. Oh, it's a hot IPO. It's going to go up. I better get some.
I got to get
in on it.
Without
thinking about what this company is, and there's no really underlying fundamentals.
There's no real interest in that. You know, and I know you referred back to the dot-coms and all the things at the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, I remember people being, and I'm sure you do, in such a euphoric state and just whipped up and just buying it. And, you know, it's like almost they didn't care it was an IPO. Buy it no matter what. You know, it's like playing Monopoly. You buy everything on the board.
Well, yeah, anything that had a dot-com attached to it was bid up to absolutely absurd, ridiculous levels. And like I said, like the housing market in the state of Florida. Okay, same thing. I mean, an asset class that's overvalued is an asset class that is overvalued. And the same scam was being run there by ridiculous real estate agents telling people that real estate can never go down and it's always a great investment, which is patently absurd. So, you know, one bubble to another bubble to another bubble, and once again, it's greed and fear that sets the trap.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of folks. Do you think they'll end up having, people going to be writing some big checks with the whole Facebook thing, you know, some of these different firms that are involved?
I don't think so. No. I mean, what did they break any law? They're pretty good about that. You know, they didn't break any laws. It was a bad deal. They're going to say, "Oh, this was investigated. We're taking a look into this." But these firms are not stupid in handling these things.
So it'll just be
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, so it'll just be a circle. They go in and they say, "We've looked at it, and there's no laws are broken." And
no laws are broken. Yeah. I mean, what happens when they do break a law? They neither admit nor deny wrongdoing, pay a fine, and walk away.
Well, I think you're right. Then something needs to be done to kind of break it up.
Well, I think that financial institutions are inherently conflicted. If we were to, I think it would be great for the economy, great for the country, if, they were broken up into little pieces. You want to be a trading firm, you're a trading firm. You want to be a commercial bank, be a commercial bank. You know, who can argue that the system didn't work better before all this nonsense?
Well, you look at the basic firm that operates, in the retail marketplace, the broker dealer, those are two very different functions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And most people don't even know the
difference. Advise people to go to independent financial advisors, and that, you got to be out of your mind to be working with a big brokerage firm.
Well, it's just totally two different functions, and I get the broker part. The dealer part, though, that's a whole other animal, and I think probably, would you say 90% of the retail investors really don't know what that dealer function is?
Oh, absolutely, and not only that, they don't realize that their broker is not a fiduciary.
Yeah,
you cannot be a fiduciary based because of that, and they do not have to put your interests above their own.
I think that's a reality most people just are not aware of. All right, Chris, we're going to take a quick break. You stay right there. We'll come back with more of this very insightful analysis on what really happens on Wall Street. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back, and we have Chris Markowski, the AKA the Watchdog on Wall Street. His website is watchdogonwallstreet.com. And Chris, we've got to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is this whole Buffett thing. I mean, I've never seen so much attention seeking in my whole life. What is your take on it?
Well, Warren Buffett is a fox. People understand he's a major shark. He comes off as this folksy old guy.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Smart.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a shark. I mean, one of the reasons why is Warren Buffett so in favor of the estate tax? You know, Berkshire Hathaway doesn't just buy, publicly traded companies. They go out and they buy private companies too. And nothing more than Berkshire Hathaway loves is someone who doesn't do their estate plan correctly.
Because then they got
to
sell
and have to sell their business, family owned business, at a deep discount because they got to pay the IRS.
Well, and they've got also They've also got some life insurance companies, right?
Yeah, I mean, they make a fortune selling insurance too. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's another aspect too. I mean, that's big business. Is selling very expensive insurance policies, so people can hand their wealth and estates to their heirs. You got to buy insurance. You got to pay the IRS man. But, and, yeah, he's a smart guy. I mean, the Buffett tax, I mean, come on, already. I mean, it's going to raise $5 billion, or a little bit less, actually, a year if they enact it. If we were to balance our nation's budget today, which is most certainly not going to happen, I wish it was, but it's not, we could pay off our national debt in a little bit over 500 years. So it's absurd.
Okay. Well, here's the way I've looked at it, and this maybe make it even more absurd. It, you know, all the talk about a $5 billion a year revenue, which is, again, is pretty small. That's putting this tax, the Buffett tax on the millionaires, saying they got to pay at least 30%. Well, I've looked at the number of billionaires we have. And so I've come up with an alternative for you. I think you'll like, Chris. It is the fuss budget billionaire tax. Okay. And that's what I call it. If 30% is good for the millionaires, how about a 50% tax on the billionaires? Now, you want to know how much that would raise? $50 billion a year. I mean, if we're serious about tax reform.
Billionaires, the people are not making $1 billion a year. This is an income tax.
Right, right. But if we put a tax like this, we say, well, all the billionaires on what they make have to pay 50%. On what they make would still be a much bigger number. And I guess I'm kind of putting the absurd next to the absurd. Nobody should be paying 50% tax.
No, but a lot, you know, some people, that's one of my favorite things, you know, when you get in debates with people and they start talking about taxes and, you know, you ask them how many months a year should somebody have to work for the government, and they, including state and local taxes. And they're shocked sometimes when you put it to them in that manner or that fashion. You know, what's funny is that, you know, one of the biggest tax exemptions going is the exemption you get on municipal bonds and government debt.
Right.
You know, why doesn't the government say, hey, you know what, we want to compete in the open marketplace against, you know, private enterprise in the debt that we issue, and we're going to eliminate that that deduction. They'll never do it because they want to be able to continue to borrow money at ridiculous rates. So, you know, they're not willing to give either.
No, and they've got a huge competitive advantage, and they're not going to give it up.
They're not the only ones that have a huge competitive advantage now in our society. It is the insiders, it is the crony companies, the big Wall Street firms. I mean, I couldn't say my show I call the little axis of evil that we've got going on here. We've got the mainstream media, you've got politicians in Washington D.C., and you got the crony capitalists, and a major part of that is Wall Street. And they all work hand in hand, and they all protect one another, and they have a very, synergistic relationship that works for them. But it's most certainly to the detriment of the country as a whole. It doesn't benefit small businesses by any stretch of the imagination, which are the real job creators out there. We're slowly but surely becoming a Western European nation, because this is how they've operated there for a long, long time. And you're having lower growth, and you're having much higher unemployment. That is the direction the country's in right now.
Well, that's not where we need to go. So, I mean, is there any, I guess, you know, I always try to be a half full kind of guy. Is there any hope that we can turn that and have it not be this cronyism and this all this conflict?
Well, you get the government you deserve, and that's going to have to happen at the ballot box. And we're going to have to put people into power that actually understand that. I mean, I think reforming the tax code would be enormous.
Maybe go to a flat tax, getting rid
of all deductions. Mm-hmm. That would be great. I mean, that's where politicians get all of their political power, is via the tax code. They, you know, write little giveaways and handouts to their favored sons, the ones that give them nice big fat checks. That's currency in Washington, D.C. I think term limits might be another one, too, and not just termed out of a political office, but termed out of Washington, D.C. You're only allowed so many years there, then you've got to go get a real job.
And you got to go back wherever you came from. I like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've had Chris Markowski, a.k.a. The Watchdog on Wall Street. Website is watchdogonwallstreet.com. Chris, we're out of time. You know it goes fast.
Oh, yes, it does.
Thanks for being with us on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All righty.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.